This clip was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For more information about the UK Wine Show, you can go to ukwineshow.co.uk. Hi, I'm here with Gemma Scott. You're the recycling manager for Twickenham Council.
London Borough of Richmond upon Thames.
Oh, really? Sorry.
No problem. based in Twickenham at the moment.
Based in Twickenham.
Your London Borough of Richmond upon Thames's council is my local council, and I thought we'd come down and talk a wee bit about recycling, curb collection, all that sort of thing, focusing mainly on the wine bottles. But before we crack into that, how long have you been working here?
I've been here now just over a year as a recycling manager, and before that I was working for the London Borough of Camden. Mm-hmm. So based in Kentish Town, near North London, as their senior recycling officer.
Oh, we'll have to do a wee comparison, who's the better borough for recycling later on. What exactly does a recycling manager do?
Ooh, what a question. Whole heap of things. I mean, I look after a recycling transfer station, so that's basically where all of the residents recycling, once it's collected by our contractor Veolia, that all comes to the depot here in Twickenham, where we are now. And that's where it's stored until it's in large enough quantities to go out for reprocessing further on. So I manage that site. Also the Household Waste and Recycling Centre. That's based in Kew. Residents can go there. They can recycle a huge variety of things, including batteries, fluorescent tubes, timber,
concrete,
soil, concrete, you name it, really.
Yeah, I've spent a few times there.
Yep.
Christmas trees.
Yes, Christmas trees. Obviously not this time of year, but as well as dumping any bulky goods they might have, so any mattresses or also electrical equipment. So
are you responsible for hitting the government European targets? When at the end of the year the council looks at you and goes, what went wrong?
Yes, my team are responsible for meeting recycling targets, yes.
Excellent. Is it easy?
Is it easy? Ooh, what a question. To be honest with you, actually, Richmond residents are exceedingly well educated and very, very keen on recycling. So we've got a recycling rate of over 40%, which is one of the highest in London.
Even higher than Camden?
That's higher than Camden.
Yes.
over 40%, which is, you know, thanks to our residents for being, you know, being so careful in what they throw away and how they throw away as well.
I suppose the key thing we want to talk about is glass, and particularly green glass and white. From your point of view, is there a difference between clear glass and green glass? Do you care?
In what sense?
Economic value, how you process it.
As I'm sure some people might be aware, but there's high value in clear glass. We do a lot of clear glass manufacturing in this country. So pasta jars, jam jars, that kind of thing. There's quite a big manufacturing base in this country for the use of clear glass. Whereas for green glass, there's much, much less of a manufacturing base because obviously we're importing a lot of that green glass, certainly for wine bottles, from places like France, South Africa. I'm sure you and your listeners are more au fait with where the green glass bottles come from than I am.
But it's mainly wine.
But it's a lot of wine. Yeah. And also things like Stella and beer.
We won't talk about beer. We are a wine show after all. Okay. Is it just the curbside that you guys collect glass from, or is there any other place?
We collect glass from curbside. So that's through recycling boxes, which I'm sure lots of your listeners have got at home. So that's one way we collect them. And the other way we collect them is by on-street recycling banks. So they're banks that you might get in Sainsbury's or supermarkets, side of the road. We've got, over 50 in the borough here in Richmond. But also we offer similar sites on estates. So that's households that can't have curbside collection of a black box because they don't have a curbside.
Yeah.
So we offer those container facilities as well.
Is there a difference between curbside and the, what do you call them?
We call them bring sites.
Bring sites.
So you're bringing your material to them.
Okay. I noticed in the curbside, we just put everything into a box, and after talking to you earlier, I think I put some of the wrong stuff in the wrong boxes sometimes. But everything just goes in, whereas I notice when I've taken boxes or anything to those bring sites, mm-hmm. You'll end up having to sort it a bit more. Does that make any difference to you guys?
Yeah, I mean, we did used to collect things, materials segregated. So as you were saying, in the different materials, we've recently changed to a scheme where we collect all our glass, all our cans, and all our plastic bottles together in a black box, which we supply our residents with. It's a lot easier for residents. I haven't got to really consider what they're doing. They can just put it all into the one box. And also it's a lot more cost effective and environmentally effective for us. We don't need as many vehicles on the streets, which obviously is good in terms of CO2 emissions. We don't need as many staff and not as many vehicles. So
what do you do afterwards? Do you sort it afterwards, or does it go to a different channel, or?
Yeah, all the material from the curbside, the black box I was talking about just now, that all comes to the site that we're in now. And we've obviously just been around and had a look at it all. Mm-hmm. That all comes here. Then it goes to a materials recycling facility, which is based in Crayford. That's in Kent, just over the border from Bexley. And that's where it's sorted. So it's sorted using kind of high-tech sorting equipment, so optical sorting for the plastics. There is a little tiny bit of manual sorting in there. It's also in terms of getting out steel and aluminium. You take it out by magnets. And then it goes on from there as a segregated material. So as a segregated mixed glass material.
Yeah,
to reprocess.
You've got a bit of white and a bit of clear and blue and brown. And do you get much blue glass?
Very little. Yeah, very little. And there is
German wines.
There's wine in blue glass. Really,
German wine comes in blue glass.
Never seen it. I know there's. You get some mineral water in blue glass.
So it sounds like the bring area where we sort it into different mm-hmm. white and brown and
clear.
Do you mix it back up afterwards, or do you sell it into different places? Do you sell the wine, or do you ship it off to China, or what do you do with you?
The wine or the glass?
No, not the wine. We drink the wine. No, the glass. You know.
No, that's sold on with for Three British Glass for Richmond anyway. Mm-hmm. Different councils will have different reprocessors, but British Glass, as I say, are ours, and we sell on the glass. As we collect it, so as the segregated colours from the bring sites only. Mm-hmm. So the clear will be sold off and the green will be sold off. Very often, depending on the market, we'll mix the brown with the green. If brown is such a tiny proportion, which is what we discussed before, tiny proportion of what comes out of households in terms of glass. So it's not something that we're too worried about, or reprocessors are too worried about mixing.
Okay, and so they've now got these big stacks of green and brown and clear, and but not blue, obviously. What happens to the mixed glass? Is it that's already pre-mixed up? I presume even like when I put glass into my recycling bin, sometimes it breaks, so it would be pretty hard to separate out the various shards of blue and green and yellow. Not yellow.
Yeah, the glass from the curbside, which is the black box recycling we were talking about, that goes mostly into road aggregate.
What do you mean by that?
So, like asphalt, which obviously makes roads, it's called glassfelt.
Oh, okay.
So up to about 30% of the asphalt that goes into some motorways and some roads will be crushed glass.
Mm-hmm. Okay, is that why I keep getting flat tyres?
I wouldn't have thought so. I mean, for example, part of the M6, part of the new extension of the M6 was made with glassfelt.
Okay.
So millions and millions of bottles.
How many millions? I think you showed me some statistics earlier.
14 million crushed bottles.
Okay, so that's quite a bit. Is that quite common though? Because there seems to be like an awful lot of glass coming out of my house anyway. I would have thought that, you know, you add that up to everybody else, you'd still land up with loads of extra mixed glass. Is that the only outlet for that mixed glass?
Mostly. I mean, these days, companies like British Glass, and it's one of the biggest in the UK, they are actually looking at colour segregating. And there have been trials, certainly in certain parts of the country, looking at separating those, I think, through some kind of optical sorting mechanism, you know, firing lasers at them. Different colours go off in different directions from the belt. I think some of those trials have been quite successful. So, you know, fingers crossed that hopefully they can, you know, they can work out and.
So what happens to green glass? Because you said earlier that we don't tend to recycle or use green glass as much. Is that mainly driven into products like the asphalt?
Green glass, if you're collecting it segregated, separately, I mean, so like we do at our bring sites in Richmond, mm-hmm. That goes to British Glass. And I believe you're going to speak to one of the glass manufacturers another time. And that actually goes back either into containers, so either into bottles, or jars. There's not a lot of green jars that you get these days. Or they'll export that to France potentially, to those countries that are going to actually use the green glass
okay.
to go back into bottles and jars.
I read somewhere, I wasn't quite sure, somewhere in your office actually, being a bit nosy, that it's actually more environmentally friendly or use less energy to recycle glass, because I always thought you used a fairly similar amount of energy to recycle glass as opposed to create new glass.
It's roughly 25% less energy used when you're manufacturing recycled glass
okay.
than from virgin materials, basically.
Okay.
I think something like you save 315 kilograms of CO2 per ton of glass that you're reusing or recycling rather than virgin material. So really good for the environment.
Okay, but you've got additional costs in terms of CO2 of collecting it and
That's including the collection.
Oh, so it is net energy efficient. Oh, it's not too bad.
I mean, there's been quite a lot of research done recently, and RAP, Waste Resources Action Programme, have done quite a lot of research on the life cycle of glass, especially when it goes back to containers, back to bottles and jars. Yeah, very energy efficient.
So it sounds like, tell me if I'm wrong or right here, but it sounds like you get two streams of glass, really, isn't it?
Mostly.
One's separated, and does it have a higher value?
Yes.
It does have a higher value.
Monetary value. Yeah.
And then there's another stream that is mixed, which has a slightly lower monetary value because it's got to be used for things like Astro.
Yeah, you've got to separate it out first, and then the market is, it's a less valuable market, so it's going to aggregate rather than back into bottles.
Okay. I suppose you've got two options, really. Either you can either stick it into landfill, or you can try and recycle it.
Yep.
What's the cost of, say, landfill?
If you take out the collection costs, so the costs of actually collecting all the waste, etc., so purely the disposal cost of what it costs to put it per ton into a landfill site, you're looking at just over £80 a ton cost to the local authority for every ton that goes that's not recycled, basically, or goes to landfill.
Okay, and what about the value of glass? Because you obviously try and sell it on at some sort of profit or at a cost. What sort of rough value does that have?
We're looking at getting an income anything over about £20 a ton.
Okay, so
at the moment, and you'll get a higher value from the clear glass, because obviously that's very sought after and used in manufacturing in the UK. You'll get a higher value for that than you will for the green.
What about green glass? What sort of value does that have?
It's still over the £15-20 a ton. Value.
Okay, so one, the cost is either £80 to dump it or £15-20 worth to you. So it's worth 95 to 100 quid, really, isn't
it? Yeah, no, massive. There's a huge difference in recycling it rather than sending it to landfill.
And does that actually come off the bottom line of the councils?
It goes into paying for the cost of the service, so paying for the cost of the collection.
Oh, okay, because you've still got the collection cost, haven't
you? You've still got the collection cost.
And that doesn't matter if it's recycled or dumped, really, does it?
Varying cost for collection, but yeah, you're still going to have to pick it up. You're still going to have to put vehicles out there. You're still going to have to employ staff to do it.
It should be higher, more expensive to collect recycled goods, though, because you've got more sorting, and you have we have three different trucks, I think, coming down our street to collect all our different recycling.
Yeah, you'll have one vehicle for your black bag waste, so your rubbish that will go to landfill.
Yeah.
You'll have one vehicle that does food waste in one side of it, and paper and card in the other side of it.
Yeah.
So you've got two materials on that vehicle.
Yeah.
And then the third vehicle will do your mixed glass, cans and plastic bottles.
Okay. Why do you not do it all on one truck? Is it just the way it works out?
You can't physically collect your rubbish, your landfill rubbish and your recycling and your food waste all on one vehicle. You wouldn't fit it all on there, and you'd need an awful lot of vehicles.
Yeah.
And obviously we want to keep as much as we can segregated, so into the different materials.
Obviously, if segregated materials have a higher value than non-segregated materials, why do we not separate them out?
I think it depends how you see monetary value, because obviously if it's segregated, we're getting income. So we'll get X amount per tonne back. But it could cost us more to collect that. For example, in Richmond, when we did collect things separately on the curbside from people's houses, we had nearly double the amount of vehicles and nearly double the amount of staff. So the cost balanced themselves out there. Because obviously we were spending an awful lot of money on vehicles and staff collecting them. It's also the issue of if you've got vehicles in the streets that are taking a long time to segregate the material on the vehicles, they're holding up the whole street.
Especially on our street, we cul-de-sac.
Exactly, and they could be there, they could be there double the amount of time that they would be there now.
Okay, I think we're going to wrap it up there, Gemma. Thanks very much for your time.
Thank you very much.